The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Roszell Live by Dr. Tom Roszell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Roszell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. This is Dr. Tom Roszell, and I've got a great program for you today, one that's going to make you stop and think a little bit. Well, I guess I make you do that all the time, and sometimes I get myself into trouble when I'm doing it, but nevertheless, this is something that I want you to think about, so to speak, when it comes to your health. We're going to talk about the body as a computer and what happens in case of any situation that is a malady. What do I mean by that? Your aches and your pains and I don't feel good and things that show up later on relative to the end product of ignorance, meaning your cancers and thyroid problems and allergy reactions and irritable bowel and so forth. We've talked about there's only three things that cause anything. And one is, you know, the injury patterns that take place, and injuries can be very impactful, like a car accident. It can be you fell down the staircase and hit your head on something, or hit the floor like I did a couple years ago, or simply something very mild, like you're in the wrong posture pattern. You don't keep yourself in shape. You went to the dentist and the dentist put a crown or a filling in your mouth, but they didn't get it the right way, meaning that the TMJ, the temporal mandibular joint, was not positioned properly. Subsequently, what happens is the 22 bones that make up your skull don't move in harmony. They don't move in a synchronic pattern. So we're going to talk about what disrupts the body. If you got to talk to me privately, we're going to talk a little bit about energetics as well and how we're influenced by everything in our environment, that we're all wavelength. But that's a story for a different time. And, you know, one of these days I'm going to invite you in. We're going to do a program called Ask the Doc. I'm going to invite you into the Roszell Center. We'll find a place in a hotel room, and we'll just ask questions and answer questions and have some fun doing that one of these days. And, you know, that might be a novel approach to, you know, really getting the message across. But we'll talk about this some other time. We're going to talk about the central computer, the central integrative state of the body. And what we're talking about is how information comes in, and then it's disseminated through the rest of the system. We know that, you know, the biochemistry is one of the sides of the triad, you know, the biochemical, bioelectrical side. And what I mean by that, all the things that you put in your body that shouldn't be there, you know, the foods that you eat that, yeah, they're kind of quizzical. And, you know, the electrical fields, our iPads and our phones and 5G networks and microwave dishes and all those things. And then the third piece is the mental decision-making process. It's not the brain itself, because the brain is controlled by many different things, but the decision processes, what you decide about anything, your body ultimately decides is true and accepts it, embraces it, and your body kind of moves on with it. But here's what happens. You have this computer, it's called, you know, your head, your brain, and it's divided into many different pieces. There's something called the neocortex. The neocortex is that frontal portion of your brain that allows you cognitive decision making, right or wrong decisions, but it allows you to discern and make, we'll go back to the word decisions, but they're based on acceptance, right? And all that, that neocortex is just jammed with data based on experiential fact that's happened, you know, over a period of many years. So when you have input coming in into the ocular focus of the body, the eyes themselves. And by the way, even people who don't have vision still perceive wavelength through their eyes. There's many, many stories and studies that people who can't see light still perceive inside their head images. Now, that's a conversation we can have, and we don't have time to do that today, but we'll just put it out that happens. So the eyes, regardless, whether it's sighted eyes or other words, receive information on an ongoing basis. You know, you've heard the commercials, you know, I'm blind, so I have 24/7 disconnect of the world. Well, to some extent in the physical plane, that's true, but not always. So we want to talk about the managing network of how the body works. So we have the brain, and that brain is hooked up to the spinal cord, and the spinal cord has 31 pairs of nerves that come out, and they go to organ systems, and they go to tissue, and they go to muscles, and they go to bone, and so forth. So this computer system, this brain, spinal cord, 31 pairs of nerves, plus the nerves that come from the brain, and those nerves are cranial nerves. You've heard the term vagus nerve and ocular nerves and auditory nerves and things of that nature. So there's all of these neurological signaling devices that are either inputs, meaning that you're registering information, or you're putting out information, telling your body what to do, making your muscles tighten up, making your muscles relax, making your heart beat the way it's supposed to. And then if you subdivide, and I know I'm getting a little bit technical, but if you subdivide the body into many different systems, you're going to notice that each one of these systems has a uniqueness to it. One that it cooperates with everybody else, but it also has its own zone, if you will, of influence. So the lower pelvic area, the perineum, you know, where our genitalia are, has its own mini brain, if you will. Yeah, guys, I mean, I did put that out there, right? So we'll kind of shrug that off a little bit. But nevertheless, there's an area at the lower portion of the body called the celiac nerve plexus. And these are nerves that control the function of the lower portion of the body, sends signals, generates hormones. There's a tremendous amount of energy there. When you think about energetics, think about how much energy it really takes to conceive and make a child. Well, that has to be controlled locally. It's not controlled further up. But the signal to that area from the brain all the way down has to be intact, because we know there's many other communications from the pituitary and how it affects the gonads and the like. Then if we move up, we have other areas. We have the intestinal tract, and they have neurological signaling that goes on there. Then we have the middle of your body, the areas of the liver and the gallbladder and kidney and so forth. And then we move up and we have the heart. Then we move up further. We have the throat and the thyroid and things that are associated. Then we move up to the head. And then we have pituitary and we have pineal. And then we have the top of the head if we want to. And that's the mainframe. So what we have to understand is they're independent, but they're all interconnected in how they work together. So that takes us back to structural, chemical, emotional, because the support mechanism has to be entrained, if you will, in a way that they all work in synchrony to each other. Just think about it this way. Whatever energy, whatever input is the strongest in the body, your body will at one point go into an agreement, if you will, we'll use that term, and everything begins to look like that. So if you took a tuning fork, and you hit the tuning fork, and it has a vibration. And you have another tuning fork over here, and you hit that tuning fork, it has a vibration. When you hit them both together, and you bring them together, the one that has the strongest vibrational field will influence the other one to allow it to work exactly the same way. So you have this synchronicity, if you will, that takes place, and everything joins in over a period of time. Now, the more input, let's say that you have four areas out here that are not working the way they're supposed to, and you have 10 over here that are working the way they're supposed to. Pretty soon, if you begin to bring them together and harmonize them, the four that aren't working will be influenced by the 10 that are working properly, providing that the energetics are the same. So what's that got to do with your cancer? What's that got to do with your back pain? What's that got to do with anything that is wrong with your body? Well, we can all take a little insult. We can all maybe eat something that we shouldn't eat. We can be exposed to something that is deleterious. And our bodies, if it's supported properly, has the mechanisms to be able to handle that. It's not disruptive, if you will. But the more impact that's negative, the more things we do that we shouldn't be doing, at one point, overwhelms the good stuff and begins to suppress it. So let's say that, you know, you're getting that candy bar at noontime because you don't have time for lunch. And then you get a soda later on because your blood sugar is dropping. And you're not sleeping through the night the way you want to sleep through the night. And you're limping along. You have an injury pattern that you're showing pain as an expression. So you're taking medications to do that. You're doing a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. So that body that's supposed to be working in harmony now is influenced by a lot of different negative patterns. And pretty soon, everything in your body begins to go into an agreement and begins to act as if it was already injured. It was injured because of the exposure to the negative patterns that we were putting up with or dealt with. Or maybe if I have, it's not going to bother me, I'm just doing this. But as time goes on, the body gets suppressed. So that's what we're dealing with. We're going to talk about how that happens as we get further into the show. But I want to set the stage for you and let you understand that you are nothing more than the environment, meaning the choices, the decisions, the exposures, the things that we do that influence the rest of you. And at some point, if those influences, those environments, those exposures and so forth are stronger than what you're trying to do to set the stage in a state of well-being or health, guess who wins? It's the negative stuff, even if you're doing a couple things. You go out and try to work out a little bit, you stretch a little bit, but the rest of the week you're messing it up. You're doing all kinds of bad stuff or things that are hampering the expression of what is good in your body. That's how the body gets sick. It's slow, it's insidious over time. You only use 1.5% of your genetic map. That means that you have 98.5% sitting there dormant that's waiting for your environment to tell it what to do. Isn't that curious? So if you have 98.5% that's just sitting there dormant, think of the possibilities that you have that could recreate who you are, how you express yourself, and perhaps heal from things that you never thought were possible to really turn around and have that type of impact and effect. We're going to talk about that as we go through the program. I want you to understand that you have choices. You have the ability to put that energetic pathway at a higher level that's going to support you so it affects everything else, so you can get away with a little silliness once in a while. Or if you go to the other side, you do things, you know, periodically good, now you're in trouble. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I have a whole lot of stuff for you today. It's one of these days I can't be quiet. I'll be right back after some messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. And starting out with an interesting topic today and kind of repositioning the thought process of that you are influenced by your environment. That's a study that is called epigenetics. That means that our cellular expression, who we are, is a result of all the influences in our environment, both from an emotional platform, a belief system, biochemistry, bioelectrical, and the things that happen to us physically, both good and bad. So we have to make sure that we understand and appreciate really what's taking place. I said in the beginning of the show that we have this amazing system, this synchrony that takes place from the brain all the way down the brain, spinal cord, 31 pairs of nerves. They go out and they touch everything, but they communicate, and each section of your body has its own chemistry. Each section of your body has its own neurology. We call it little mini brains, and it begins to signal that system and tell it what to do. Now, it can be disrupted by global influences. We said that you only use about 98.5%, or excuse me, you use only about 1.5% of your DNA, and 98.5% is dormant. It's just sitting there. So if that's the truth, if we're just sitting around with, you know, you used to call it junk DNA, what's it doing there? Well, it's there to heal you. It's there to make you better. It's there to, in the wrong environment, it can take you down as well. So we want to be able to understand, first of all, that you are, as I said a week or two ago, I said, you're the cause, you're the cure. You're the cause because you do things that will disrupt that harmonic basis, that integration, that synchrony that takes place in your body. You're the cure because you can re-influence it to resolve itself. The body is very forgiving. providing that you put it into the right platform to be able to optimize itself and to be able to express itself. We've all thought about, you know, I wish I could get out of this situation. Whatever it is, you decide to put the tag on it, whether you have something as serious as a stage 4 cancer, or you have back pain, you have spinal stenosis, you have a common cold, and you keep getting sick on a regular basis. Why is that? Why do those things happen to some people and it doesn't happen to others? Well, there's a reason for it. And we have to look at that mental, emotional state, how we make decisions about our body, the things that we accept as being true. We have to take a look at the next piece. Are there injuries that we're putting up with? Do we limp around? And, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, suck it up and deal with it. You know, you're a boy. Or in many households, you know, don't cry. And those emotional pieces lock down inside of us, and they can cause a disruptive disharmony, a bad synchronistic pattern that causes other things to go down if they're there long enough. And then the biochemistry, the bioelectrical pathways, you know, living in the Washington metropolitan area, we're constantly being influenced, not only by our own devices and our own computers and cell phones, but everything else that's out there. You have more global electrical bad influences in this area probably than any place else, unless you're sitting on top of a nuclear facility someplace. I don't know. But in this area, we're constantly being bombarded, so you have to learn the tools. The point I'm trying to make is simply this. Your body works independently and interdependently with itself, and we have to continue to optimize and control not only the exposures that we have, and we have to deal with the physical platform, meaning this world that we live in, but we all have to deal with the emotional statements that we make in our brain. Think about it for a second. How often do you end up with stinking thinking? Meaning, well, I can't, you know, I don't have the ability, I wasn't educated, I don't have a degree, you know, I live in a bad area, I come from whatever peasants that you can say, I'm first generation to this country, and I'm the first one who has not only a college degree, but I'm the first one who has a doctoral degree in one generation. Think about that. And when you can take those things, and, you know, I grew up in a Western New York small town that there was a lot of prejudicial elements between the culture I came from and people who were already here. So you can take that and allow yourself to be succumbed and sucked into a very negative place, or you can use it to motivate yourself and look at yourself as being capable and strong. You know, Michael Jordan, for example, when asked why he was so great, he said something very straight up. He said, I expect more of myself than anybody could possibly ask of me. That's amazing, right? So why is it that we put up with mediocrity? And I'm going to carry that through in the next part of the program. And what that really means relative to our exposures, what that really means relative to how we handle our body, our willingness to do certain things, and accepting the fact, oh, my God, I'm just getting older. And, you know, what do I expect from my age? And, you know, these things happen to everybody. And oh, I'm telling you, this is one boy that's sitting here that doesn't accept that at any level whatsoever. So I want you to remember, we're talking about this computerized system. We're going to talk about how, in the next segment of the program, how the toxic disturbances affect that. That means our environmental impact. Interesting program. I could talk to you for several hours on the subject, and hopefully you'll take a piece of this and apply it so you save yourself. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. I have a whole lot more.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're talking about something that maybe most of us haven't appreciated. It comes off a platform that I had listened to years ago. It's called, you know, the 6 Steps to Wellness. And we're kind of dissecting that a little bit and putting together. We're talking about the nervous system, and we're going to talk a little bit about the sources of toxicity, you know, that other side of the triangle, and the things that if we're exposed to and we don't do something about it, and the influences that we're going to take a very defined step down the road that allows the body to express disease, disharmony, dysfunction, pathology at some point. So when we're talking about sources of toxic disturbance, and remember, I didn't say biochemical, but toxic disturbance, things that break the body down. We're talking about physical toxins. We're talking about inherited toxins, things that you bring through genetically or have a predisposition genetically. We're talking about even spiritual toxins. You know, we can't leave that out for a lot of people. And the mental, emotional toxins, and we're talking about the external energy platforms that are all around us. They're through us and around us, and they have an impact on that 98.5% of dormant DNA. Remember I said you only use about 1.5% of your DNA? So I want you to think about the disease processes that you have, and even the emotional disruptions that you have, the anxiety patterns and so forth, that we get caught up into a loop and we wonder why we can't get out of them. And after 45 years of practice, I know that there are many different avenues that not only stop the expression of some of these things, but make life a whole lot better. So, you know, the inherited toxins, the miasms, if you want to go to the homeopathic platform, they have to do with genetic disorders in inherited toxins. So things that are passed through. I'll give you an example. One of the most difficult conditions to treat that I've found over the last 45 years is anything that has to do with fungus and yeast infections and so forth. Even you get them under control, the trigger seems to be just under the surface. And you wonder why it happens. Two people, one from one family, one from another family, eat the same way, do the same things, and we know that the predispositions to those things are like dairy products and peanuts and peanut butter and fast-acting sugars and alcohol and the like, and they will cause that to occur. You know, if you're an athlete, often you'll have the rashes underneath your arms, you'll have them between your legs. Those are irritations due to mold and fungus. But some people don't have that. Why is it? The predisposition is passed down genetically in many, many cases, the majority of cases. And ladies, I'm sorry to tell you, but it seems to be passed down through the maternal side. So if your mother had a mold or yeast problem, the chances are that you're going to be predisposed to it. Doesn't mean that you're going to get it if everything is good in your life and well-balanced and perfect. But guys, the same thing. If your mother has a predisposition to that, you will probably have a greater tendency to mold and yeast and those sort of things. So you have to understand that there's a linkage there, but they're very difficult to change unless you really change everything, change the neurological input so the tissue can begin to reorganize itself, change the biochemistry, and then get your headspace to where it begins to shift as well. So inherited toxins, we're talking about things that are passed through genetically and things that, you know, we can trace back Aunt Grandma and, you know, Aunt Mary and so forth. And same thing with guys, you know, well, Uncle Fred had this and my dad had this and so forth. Then we look at the physical toxins, okay? Things that influence the body, metabolic waste, things that, you know, that are out there, free radical waste. We have heard about free radical damage. What is a free radical? When you talk about a bonded molecule, for example, water, it's called H2O. Two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen. It's complete. It's bonded. There's no open attachment. When there is an open attachment on that molecule, it wants to link on to something, or on that atom, it wants to link on. It tries to make itself whole and neutral. So water is inert. It's not going to cause a problem with virtually anybody unless it has toxins in the water. But something that is just a hydrogen atom, or there's an excess of hydrogen in this one molecule, has a charge. We'll talk about charge, meaning it's looking to link on to something. So most environmental toxins have an open charge, meaning it is looking to bind on something, and guess where it binds? On you. It's looking to attach itself to make itself whole. And unfortunately, when we have to give of ourselves to make something whole, there's usually a cost resolved with that, and you begin to break down, and you become more predisposed. So the more tissue that it binds to, the more toxins cause the body to predispose to cancers and other pathologies and so forth. When we have digestive waste, now we can, these physical toxins can come from any place, but digestive waste, things that we have in our body that they overwhelm the lymphatic channels. We're eating too much junk. We're not getting enough clean water, fresh water to flush it out. I often tell patients that look at the lymphatic system like a drainage ditch outside. Sometimes rats and other debris and so forth get into it, and it dies, right? And it smells, and it's horrible. And you don't want to walk through any of these drainage channels. But then it gets to rain, and the rain comes very hard and very fast, and it flushes these drainage ditches out. Guess what? They don't smell bad, right? They actually smell pretty good. And you can walk through them, and it's not a big deal. But the body's the same way. If you're allowing things to be stagnant and accumulate debris and waste and toxin, if you're putting more and more junk in that the body can't get rid of it fast enough, your body is going to stink. Your body, and I mean that figuratively, but in some cases literally as well, your body is going to begin to break down. And that's where you smell under your arms and say, oof, what's this all about? Or you smell your own breath and say, oh my God, anybody comes near me, I'm in trouble. Those are all signals that your body is breaking down. You look at your skin, and your skin is dry, and it's peeling, or it has crustaceans on it. Those are also signals of those things. So when we look at good and bad things, we look at biological organisms in the physical world. They come in, viruses, the bacteria. One of this and one of that is not going to make a problem necessarily, providing that the rest of the body is in synchrony, is working together. However, when we get more and more of these environmental inputs, these natural environmental pollutions, the radio waves that are out there, now we have a problem. Now we begin to break things down. When we look at the external energy platforms of the body, you know, you've heard things about, you know, the geopathic stresses. Those are magnetic forces within the Earth. If you talk to a pilot, he's going to tell you there's north and then there's true north. It's the magnetic heading of the poles of the Earth. And that shifts, by the way. The poles, the North Pole and the South Pole, move about 3 degrees every 100 years. So the electrical fields of the Earth shift in accordance with that. So let's take it to this, you know, everybody's worried about, you know, the environmental heat up. Well, you have a 50-year heat up and a 50-year cool down cycle. Now, there are things that can shift that. There are influences within the interplanetary areas and so forth, but we're not going to get into astrophysics on the program today. But you can shift the Earth magnetic field naturally, or you can put undue influences on it and other types of things. Radiation is an external influence. All the cell towers that we have around us is an external influence. The microwaves, an external influence. Sticking your nose in a computer day in and day out and your cell phone on top of your head or your Bluetooth earbuds. I don't wear them because it's too close to my brain. I don't want that influence going into my head. I'll listen to it. I'll turn on my cell phone. I'll wear the old-fashioned bugs that go all the way down, but I'm not putting those Bluetooth into my ear. And then there's EMF scramblers. There are a lot. You can actually go on drtomrozell.com and you go down to the retail spot. There's some really interesting hookups to some great vendors that will give you some vendors or give you some scramblers that work real well. But any kind of frequency disturbers and so forth. Then we get to the mental emotional side. Okay? Your emotional physical traumas, things that happened to us over the years, the body remembers all sorts and all forms of trauma. And if something happens to us when we're young, we're abused as a child, we see something horrific that takes place, guys coming back from, you know, war zones and they suffer tremendous emotional insult because of what they saw took place. They couldn't believe that could happen. All these things, and even things that were told that are true. If you do this, you're going to end up with this. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. You're going to do this, and this is what's going to take place. The more people that believe that, the more it seems to be true. And there's something called, by the way, a 100th monkey effect, that when you get to a threshold phenomenon of belief, pretty soon everything and every everyone else believes the same thing. It's usually about 9% to 10%. Story for a different program, but we can talk about this. This came about from, just so you're aware of it, the Moro monkeys were studied in this island off of Japan after World War II, and the scientists watched them and how their behavior patterns were, and it has to do with sweet potatoes and what they ate. But it's a fascinating story, but we won't get into that today. Any type of learned habit, you know, you go over and every day you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. You're living in the same pattern, the same environment, the same condition, the same physiological expression. And until you change that, you can never grow. You can never become better. You can't influence anything else. Because if we do things repetitively, the body only knows the habit. So we have these mental, emotional toxins, if you will, that can be just habitual. On the surface, they don't look bad, but they hold us down. They don't allow us to express. You have to do things differently if you ever have any hope whatsoever of any change taking place in your environment. Remember, you're the cause, you're the cure. So we have to do something differently. You can't, you know, the definition of insanity, right, is doing something over and over again at a much higher level and much more forcefully, expecting something different to occur. Well, it's not, because where you are right now at this moment in time is because of all the processes that you've done up until now. And if you go back and you redo the same process, but you do them more effectively and more efficiently, guess what you're going to get? The same thing over and over and over again. If you bring something into your heart, and you, whether it's love, whether it's hatred and so forth, your body expresses that. And so be very careful with the words that you choose to use and how you express them relative to another individual. Be very careful the decision-making that you do. You know, when you look at something, you hear something, begin to ask questions. And first of all, you're going to judge that person based on your history. You're going to judge that situation based on the facts that you've accumulated, your facts, the things that you've accepted as being true, the faith that you embrace. But at the end of the day, is that the same for somebody else? Why is that person not sick? And they do everything that you do, except maybe the way they think. Is their thought process different on an ongoing basis? Is the way they look at the world and they accept people and they love people? You know, I sit and I watch people lose their ever-loving minds over silly things. And I've got to the point where I've developed a habit where I laugh or I smile at them, and or I get curious why they're doing what they're doing. And I don't let it have an impact. If I notice that it's beginning to impact me, I walk away. I don't judge it. I just know that the feedback going into my body is not where I want it to be, and I've got to disconnect it. We often feel that we have to say things and do things that maybe the underlying why we do them might be appropriate, but the delivery is not. But whatever comes out of our mouth not only influences another human being, but it also influences us as well. So remember, you're the cause, you're the cure. So we're talking about sources of toxic disturbance. We're talking about inherited toxins. We're talking about physical toxins. We're talking about energetic. We're talking about emotional. We're talking about even the spiritual piece. I like to listen. You know, I'm a guy of faith, and I like to listen to people who are very motivating and uplifting, taking the pieces of scripture on everybody's good book and say, this is what our Creator wants us to believe, and not in a negative pattern. I'm the guy that you motivate me by positive, moving forward types of things, not obstructive, you know, watch for the alligators type of situation. So some people are motivated in a negative way. It's not a good thing to stay stuck in that. You have to align it with what you would want in a perfect situation. So begin to do a quality check around you. What are the physical impairments that you're putting up with? What are the emotional impairments that you're putting up with? Are you really trying to put the fuel in? If I gave you a brand new Ferrari, the best of the best, would you go down and put 87 cheap octane in it? I don't think so, but we do it to our body, and it's a heck of a lot more valuable than that Ferrari. So think about the environment. Think about the thought process that you're creating. And just remember, everything we've talked about so far can be reversed. Your body is extremely forgiving. It'll do virtually everything that you want it to do. And we'll talk about that just a little bit as we come back after the break. But I want you to understand that you're the cause, you're the cure, but we have to be aware of what we're causing and by our influences. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. I have a whole lot more for you. Wish I had about 5 hours, but we only have a few more minutes.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard, right out of the good old Washington metropolitan area. And, you know, we do this program ongoing simply because of the fact that I want to make sure that you have all the tools on an ongoing basis to be able to help yourself and to, you know, to be strong against the slings and arrows of environment and our times and so forth, because your body has the ability to live well, and I want you to live well. And, you know, when you look at how we were designed, everything that you have within your body was designed to optimize your existence on this planet for many years. Unfortunately, we cut it short. You know, we check out at 78 years on an average, or 77 years, and, you know, where we should be at 130. And live well. You should start this life like a big bright candle and then kind of snuff out real quick. You shouldn't have to linger. But if you want to see what happens because of our environmental impact and the things that we've been talking about, take a walk through a nursing home sometime. I mean, not just in assisted care, but people who are in full nursing, and take a look what's happened to them over a period of time. They are nothing more, in my opinion, of the manifestation of decisions that we've been touching upon and talking upon on the program today. There's a book that I read many years ago, and I've reread a couple times, and it's the author's Paul Zane Pilcher, and he wrote a book called God Wants You to Be Rich. So let's just touch upon that for a second. You know, God wants you to be rich. So Pilcher dispels the myth that the world of riches is like a pie. You know, it's like if you cut it up that someone is going to get some and other people are not. And so if we look at our creation and that we have everything that it takes to optimize the expression of life within our body, then why doesn't it happen that way? Why is it that some of us seem to be impervious to anything that's insulting to the body, and we do well, and some of us are not? How does that happen? Understand that there are several laws. There's laws of economics and, you know, the productivity and technology and so forth. And there's laws of alchemy, you know, the things that we have externally that influence our body. And then there's, you know, different breakdowns of that. So what I want to say to you is, if we're not expressing ourselves optimally, if we're not living our genetic map 130 years and living it well, not limping along, why is that? You're the cause, you're the cure. So if we have this 98.5% dormant DNA that's just sitting there, why isn't it that all of us aren't taught how to unfold that to our benefit? Well, the truth of it is, you can. And that's the study of epigenetics that we've been touching upon repetitively now over a period of time. I want to give you the tools. I want to at least put the bug in your head that you can do something about where you are right now. You can live optimally. You don't have to schlep along. You're the cause, you're the cure. So as we talked about all the expressions that the body goes through relative to its environmental influences and thought processes, realize that you can resolve that, but you have to begin to upregulate each one of those pieces. That's why we do the program. I want to give you a thought that says, oh, I didn't know that, or this guy's crazy. Remember, my job is to provoke you, is to get you to think a little differently, to make you get uncomfortable and say, maybe I better change the way I think. We're here every week to do that and to give you everything I can possibly give you. And we continue to do it because I'm here to serve you. And I do it for one reason, is that I love you all. We'll be back next week with a much, much more in-depth look at some other pieces of the puzzle. I'll see you then. Bye.